Good morning. The scripture reading for today is Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40. If you need a Bible, raise your hand and an usher will bring you one. Again, that's Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Blessed be the reading of this word.
And I'm 11 years old.
I can't run. And my age is 7.
Two years, I think. 100 years.
I'm an evergreen girl's mind.
Power club, choir.
New stuff. You do your homework.
We get to go outside sometimes.
Color, we do artwork.
It's fun. We go on trips.
They gotta read.
They help us learn new things about God.
Yeah,
and he will always protect us.
He tall.
Sometimes if we do something really bad or mess with old people, God can write it down in his book.
He always respects us.
He made all of us right in. All is different.
He's like a great person. I don't like the devil. Devil man.
A police officer.
A chef. A lawyer because they get a lot of money and they help people.
I want to be a doctor because you can help people and save people's lives.
I want to make them do something better than doing smoking or drugs and stuff.
Nice to come and live life and learn to do your work.
It helped me get good grades in school.
I changed into a good person. I don't fight no more.
And I know I learned more about God here.
Justice, this the real thing. I pray every day about something.
Every time we pray, I think God right there beside me.
And I just want to say, I like Little Nights.
Little Lights, you know, exist to share Christ's love to children and youth and families in underserved areas of Washington, D.C. And we do that through academic assistance. We do that through enrichment activities. We do that through field trips. We do that through feeding kids and also spiritual programs and mentoring as well. But it's a relational ministry that just really tries to communicate and empower children, youth, and families to experience Christ's love.
Little Lights, they're a blessing, big blessing to the kids. They help them with their homework, help them with their problems, help them during Christmas time, help them anytime.
Yeah, we do various activities with them. We do computer classes, do cooking classes, art classes, and then we just give them time to chill out as well, play video games, just have a lot of fun, and you know, really envision a place where kids can come and feel, well, ultimately feel safe and loved at the same time.
The kids literally can come almost every day if they're age appropriate. There's something going on almost all the time for them.
Well, there are a lot of nonprofits in D.C. There's a lot of after-school programs going on. But something that really strikes me about Little Lights is that it's very holistic. It cares for the entire person.
We try to make sure our kids are getting great programs, but more than that, I want the kids to feel very safe, loved, respected here. But our main mission is to really be in the community, to learn from the community members, the families, the kids, and to share the love of Christ.
Some of the kids that we work with, seeing a change within them and in their attitudes,
and some of them are going to church with different staff members, and are really, you really see a hunger and a desire for God within them.
The directors really invest a lot in staff. They really want us to see us grow spiritually, and so, you know, I think through their investment in us, we're able to invest more in the kids.
Christ says, bind up the brokenhearted, and I think that's what we're here for. That's what we aim to do.
Even the two greatest commandments of loving God with all of our heart and mind and soul, and loving our neighbor as ourselves, are very related commandments, that they are intertwined.
I love what I do, and I love the people here, and I love just the way we love and care about each other.
Our prayer is that more and more people would come together with the common goal of wanting to bless the city and to serve the city. And so hopefully as people come together for that purpose, lots of great ministries can come out of that, and a lot of people will be blessed. That's what we'd love to see. We'd love to see the entire city of D.C. Changed for God's glory.
Good job.
Thank you. Have a good time.
It's a beautiful world.
Well, I'm up first to introduce what we did as a team of six people. Stop that again. Yeah. Pastor Jeff, I was one of the co-leaders of the team of six. Nathan Liu was the other leader. And then we have each team member you will hear from today. So I'll let them introduce themselves as they come up. The name of our team, we chose a name before we go, and it's Beliefers. And that is just simply based on the word LEAF, L-E-A-F, which stands for living every day as followers. So it's, we are to be Leafers. Get it? We are to be living every day as followers. That's the name of our team. So we made little t-shirts and everything and wore them. So that's our team name. Our purpose for going on a short-term mission trip to D.C. and any time, really, from our church, is to follow and be obedient to the command of Christ to go and make disciples of all nations. And that word nations means all ethnic groups, or what is popularly known as people groups. And so that's why we went to D.C., is to be obedient to that in the sense of the urban poor in D.C., Southeast D.C. especially. And so, and then on the other side of that is that we are going to obey the command of Christ to be reaching out and helping those who are poor, downtrodden in our midst. And these people, this people group in D.C. and around D.C. area are definitely experiencing poverty in many different ways, as well as downtrodden and oppression in some ways too. And so we were also obeying the command there. The purpose, or by going and serving with Little Lights and helping them, we did two things. We assisted them, the Ministry of Little Lights, to make disciples. As you see, it's a long-term approach, with starting with children up to into the high school age, and then also and now into the adult age. To help them making disciples, but then also in the purpose of the process of serving on a mission trip, it's a part of our own discipleship. Because we are following Christ, we grow deeper as well in our walks with Christ, in our way we experience Him working in the world and in people's lives. And that definitely, we saw that while we were there. We were stretched more than we anticipated. Every single one of our team members, when we got there, was asked to prepare a talk and give it to the kids at the site that we served at. So whether we were in high school as a teenager or as an adult, we were asked to talk to these kids. And if you got our emails periodically, they were kind of unruly kids at some points too. So it was kind of scary for our team members to do that. And so we went down on this mission with a heart to serve the Lord God and to love Him and to love our neighbor, which would be there in Southeast D.C. So now I'm going to pass it over to Nathan, who is not here today, but But he prepared a video in his absence, and so he's going to speak to us for a few minutes on his experience at Little Lights. And so, put on Nathan.
Hey, Cornerstone. This is Nathan here. Sorry I couldn't be here with you today, but I'm in the UK. But I'm here to share with you a little bit about our experience in the UK, not in the UK, but in DC with Little Lights. And the first thing I want to talk about is leading this team. This is the smallest short-term mission team that I've ever had to lead. And I was a little worried at first, but in reality, I was. It turned out to be a great blessing because it just made things easier, and our team was much more intimate because of our small size. Just for instance, we're in our kitchen right now, so we were able to just sit here at this table where the girls are right now. Hi, girls. So we could just sit here and eat our meals. This is our kitchen. Then we cooked our meals in, and it would have been really difficult if our team was really big because, it's, as you can see, it's not super big. So we're going to head on downstairs. So that was our team. I want to talk a little bit about Little Lights themselves, where we're actually at their headquarters right now. It's called the Hope Center. And I'm going to bring you into one of our main rooms where some of the younger children have their summer lights camp this year. And Little Lights is one of those places that's just really blessed. It had very humble beginnings, and they're just blessed by all the people that support them. And one of their philosophies is that even though they serve the poor community here in D.C., they want the best for their kids. They want the best for the community. So just for instance, here we have a vacuum cleaner. And as you can see, this is a Dyson vacuum cleaner, which is in general regarded as a pretty high-end vacuum cleaner. And this isn't the only Dyson I've seen. There's Dysons like all over their facilities. There are, I think, four different sites. We were at three, but we were all a little spread out, but all their facilities are very similarly designed with the best equipment. But I just wanted to lastly share about a moment in my trip that was especially impactful in my life. When we first got here, we kind of didn't really know too much of what was going on, or we weren't super informed, so it was almost like we were kind of going in blind. And the first day was really rough for myself and some of the other team members as well. And in all honesty, I almost hated it here. It was really tough, and it was hard to connect with the kids, and I was really tired, and I just kind of wanted to just go home. But a few days in, I really started to connect with the kids. And when that happened, I just felt very connected with the kids. And I realized not only that these kids are really sweet, and they're really cute, and they're really lovable, but I also realized that these kids are living in extreme poverty. And when I experience things like that, it really breaks my heart, because these kids deserve better. And here at Little Lights, it's really a blessing for me to see them going out to the groups that are often forgotten here in our own country, and for us to be able to love them and for us to share moments with them is a huge blessing. And I pray that all the kids that we interacted with were impacted not only just by us, our team, but through Little Lights, that they will be blessed by God. So that's just one experience from my trip. It's been a blessing. I hope that you guys are blessed by our sharing, and we thank you for all your support and prayers. Thanks.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jacqueline, and I worked at the Hope Center, which was ages pre-K to first grade. Jenny and I had the opportunity to work at the Academic Center. After lunch, the kids go into groups to go to four stations: chill time, arts and crafts, Bible studies, and academics. Chill time was when the kids could eat snacks and play video games. Throughout the week, the kids made crafts such as doorknob hangers, puppets, and masks. At the Academic Center, we would spend the first half reading books with the students or completing math and English worksheets. We would spend the second half playing educational games online. At the day camp, we were able to help them with academics, reviewing their Bible knowledge, and letting them express their artistic ability. Overall, it was a spiritually and physically enriching experience for the volunteers and the kids. When I was working at the academic center with the kids, a boy named Tanner stood out to me. He was a very bright student, and he knew what he was doing, but he was never obedient and would never listen. It was a challenge for the volunteers and I to work with him. I would tell him what to do and give him warnings, but sometimes he would never listen, and it wouldn't work. The only way for him to behave better was to send him to timeout, which was something I never wanted to do because I knew he was better than that. On my last day before he left, he ran to me to give me a hug and said thank you. This showed that even when I would discipline him, he always knew it was for the best and that I still cared about him at the end of the day. The Little Lights Urban Ministry started out with renting one room in the Hope Center in 1999. With trust in God and prayer, Steve and Mary decided to quit their jobs and work full-time for Little Lights. They did not know what to expect and didn't have a plan for what to do next. However, today they have three buildings for the kids to go to. This stood out to me the most because they decided to let God take control of their future and what to do next. I learned that when you're at your lowest points or when you don't have luck on your side, the most important thing to do is to trust in God. He will give you what you need and take control of everything perfectly. Little Lights is changing the children's lives just by letting them go to a safe environment where they can grow spiritually and physically. Overall, I learned that when you trust in God and let him take control of your future, you will end up with the best results because he will take you further than you will be able to go to by yourself. Thank you for your prayer and support.
Hello, my name is Jenny. I was the only team member who had the chance to go to both Hopkins and the Hope Center, but Betsy will talk more about Hopkins later. So when I was at the Hope Center, Mary, the deputy director, asked Jacqueline and I to share a message to the children. So we decided that making a Muppet skit would be the easiest way to get our point across. The Muppet skit was about how when you do bad things, Jesus will still love you. The children responded really well to the message. When we asked them questions, they were able to answer in depth. We knew that if we used the Muppet, they would be more engaged, and because they normally don't get to watch a skit, and usually the people would just talk to them. A memorable story was when we were allowed to go to Six Flags with the kids on Wednesday. I took care of six other girls who were in second to fourth grade. At first, I was nervous because I thought that they wouldn't like me or warm up to me because to them, I was just another volunteer. But as soon as they met me, they were clinging onto my arm as if I had been friends with them for several weeks. They wanted me to sit next to them on rides and enjoyed telling me them about themselves. At the end of the day, they were sad that they had to say bye to me. On the bus ride home, one of the kids wanted me to play hand games with him, but I didn't know how, but he was excited to teach me. It makes me happy that they were all so open and friendly. However, it also saddens me because these children see volunteers come and go all the time, and they never get to stay in touch with them. The Little Lights Urban Ministry mission statement is, Little Lights Urban Ministries is dedicated to expressing the love of Christ by empowering underserved children, youth, and families in Southeast D.C. On this trip, I learned how these children who don't have much can open up to volunteers like us so easily because we show them love and care. I can see how much potential they have, and it makes me sad how some of them won't get the chance to go to college because it's out of the norms for them. God truly is great because Mary and Steve have been blessed with these children and the opportunity to share God's love with them. I learned that through faith, trust, love, and prayer, anything can be achieved. Steve and Mary dropped everything they had and put their trust in God, and with a little faith and prayer, they were able to be where they are today. This shows me that Jesus can truly work miracles when you just believe in him. At the end of the day, I realized that I need to trust in God more and have faith that he has my best interest in mind and will always be here for me. Thank you for your love and support.
Little Lights. What do you like doing in here?
Reading with.
What do you like doing in here?
Reading.
Who do you like reading with?
You.
Who's me? What's my name?
Hi, my name is Deborah. For those of you who don't know me, I worked with Jeff at the 1212 Center, which was in Potomac Gardens. So just a quick schedule of what they did there. So at about 10:15, Jeff and I would get there, set up a little bit, and then at 11, the kids would just start pouring in, so energetic, and then we would have choice time, which included crafts, jewelry making, which I was in charge of, cooking classes, and going to the gym with Jeff. And then at 12, we would all have lunch. They would watch movies like Kung Fu Panda and all that. And then after that, we would have an opening ceremony, which included different chants, praise and worship, games, and a message. And then after that, we would have more stations, which Jacqueline kind of touched on a bit, which was Bible study, math reading worksheets, or chill time. Each day was different, so they would rotate around these three. So during chill times, they could play video games, foosball, go outside and play kickball. So throughout the 5 days, I experienced a lot of good moments with them, but one that really stuck out to me was on the last day we were there with them, on Friday. It was my day to give a message, and I thought, oh, you know, these kids, they're so young, they may not want to watch me just stand there and talk to them. So I turned it into an object lesson. So I made this, I looked online, and I found this really cool activity I could do with them. So the main message I wanted to get across to them was, you know, be a sweet person, let God show his sweetness through you. So what I did was, I had a cup of iced tea and a cup of lemon juice. I kind of like mixed them around to make them look the same, but one was obviously more sour than the other. And I would have two of the kids come up, and one would have the iced tea, and the other one would have the iced tea. So, so I was like, all right, 3, 2, 1, you guys can drink. And then the girl with the sweet iced tea was like, oh, this is pretty good. And then the other person with the iced tea kind of just stood there, you know, didn't even make a face. And all of a sudden, she's like, hey, yo, Miss Deborah, why are you trying to poison me? And it was the first time I heard this girl, you know, say my name, actually, because, you know, this girl, I think it was kind of hard to remember my name since it's, I guess, longer, more than one syllable or something. But they would always be calling me, like, Miss Dumbo or Miss Depra or something. But it was really nice to see that I got through to her and she'll remember my name, even though I kind of had to use this weird drink on her. What I learned. I remember, again, on the last day, the main coordinator there at my center, Miss Linda, she was just telling me about how, you know, these kids, they go through so, so much. Like, they go through so much more than I do in my 16 years, and they're only in, like, third grade. And she was just telling me about how, you know, these kids, they, a lot of times they'll see their friends or just people on the street, you know, get shot right in front of them. They experience so many deaths, and they can still come in every day and smile and just be happy, spread their energy to us. And it was really inspirational to see. It made me think about my own life. You know, we all go through our own hardships, but I find that a lot of times I kind of just let them get to me. But watching these kids, it made me really happy. And I realized that, you know, I need some of God's sweetness too. So it was just a really nice reality check for me, you know, that I needed God in my life and that I needed to smile more. So thank you for your support and prayers.
hand. Like, that's nice. This is the game room. There's a lot of different games that you can play. This one's my favorite. As you can see, there's a bunch of flat screen TVs, and there's usually Wii's and Xboxes and some nice consoles out for the kids to play with. So that's really awesome. There's air hockey, and there's also foosball. So this is the game room. You gotta remember that the light switch are outside of the room. This is the craft room. People also play board games in here, and, you know, just generally have some fun, and also they eat snacks in here sometimes too. So there's all these seats over there, and there's some nice decor in there if you want to check it real quick. I think that was made by the parents and like sponsors, so they all helped coordinate this. There's pictures over here that the little kids drew, and sides of the wall are chalkboard, so you can write all over it. It's pretty great. Can you turn off the light? Okay. Is anyone in the bathroom? I guess not. Okay. This is one bathroom. So this is one bathroom. There's a toilet, there's a urinal, sink, standard bathroom stuff. There's some paper towels over here if you want to dry your hands. And there's another bathroom on the side. So that's where you do your business.
Yeah, this is the great room, I think.
Okay. This is the great room. Oh, who is this?
Wow.
Oh, do you guys want to introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Jessica.
Yeah,
hi, I'm Jason.
Hi, I'm Ying.
So we're all volunteering here.
We all volunteered here this week.
We all volunteered here this week. And it's a big space. There's a kitchen back here. See this fridge full of nice, refreshing things like water and a bunch of milk.
Water!
Oh, a bunch of milk in there, and there's some vegetable oil spread.
Delicious.
And then over here, there's a sink, and this is where we wash everything, and this is where we prepare the food. And out there in that open space is basically where the kids do their crafts too. There's finger painting, there's these things called Frisbees, which are the worst thing ever. Don't suggest doing it. And yeah, so when we want to set up the room, we take a bunch of chairs and tables and we set them up. And this is also where the kids eat too, so it's a huge multi-purpose room. Okay, now we're going to go to the computer / board game.
Have fun!
Okay, so this is the computer room, and you can see all these super nice computers, and basically Little Lights is super blessed, so they always have really nice things and try to keep everything clean. So this is all the computers. I think these are like iPads, I don't know, but like you touch it and then like stuff shows up, and it's pretty great. There's pictures here of the kids, and then back here you have board games that the kids play during like their choice time, which is like free time. So there's all these different games. There's puzzles too. These are the workbooks, and this is basically so that the kids can practice what they're learning in school. So they have math problems, they have writing problems too, English problems, and everyone has their own folder, and during academic time, they have to do a bunch of sheets for around 25 minutes, and then after they've done work for 25 minutes, they can go on the computer and check out some websites for 25 minutes. These are the list. This is the list of the approved websites. And what's the next room? What's the next room, Mr. Nathan?
That's probably it.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi guys, that was me. All right, so my name is Betsy, and on this mission trip, I worked with Nathan at the Hopkins Center, but since he isn't here today, you'll be hearing from me about our experience there, so lucky you. So first, let me tell you about the place that we worked. The Hopkins Center is one of the newer buildings that Little Lights has used to spread God's love. It's part of the Hopkins residential area, which is sort of like apartment style. Earlier this spring, the residence council there asked Lowlights to consider using the recreation space, which used to be a boys and girls club, but it kind of went into vacancy and there wasn't a lot of people there. The Hopkins Center program is for kids from pre-K to fourth grade, so it's a very wide range. Overall, Hopkins uses the same curriculum structure as all the other locations, so there's emphasis on three things: academics, Bible knowledge, and creative expression. So one experience that I really just want to shed light on is my time with this little girl that I met at the Summer Lights Camp. My first impression of the group of girls wasn't very positive. Since Hopkins is such a large group with the widest range of students, things get pretty rowdy sometimes. So like Nathan stated earlier, the first day was really a huge challenge for pretty much all of us. Anyways, later on in the week, I was walking the kids to this local aquatic center, which is where they go swimming once a week. They walk to the aquatic center, and it's pretty crazy. It's hard to keep track of all of them, and it's very difficult because the kids are just constantly wandering off and being mischievous. They're also more familiar with the area, so they'll go someplace and say that they're going somewhere, and I don't know where they're going, actually, and it's just very confusing for all of us. So the whole time that I was at the pool, I really was dreading the walk back because it was just going to be the same thing again. So when the time finally came for us to go back to Hopkins, one girl actually started walking next to me, and she kind of latched on to me and decided to talk to me, asking me why I was so quiet. I was really quiet because I was frustrated and trying to figure out how to keep my cool the whole time. So since I was frustrated, I wasn't talking much. She paused to pick a rock up off the ground, so I had to promptly ask her, "Why are you touching that?" Because before, the girls would just pick up rocks and leaves and be like throwing them at each other, so I had to make sure that she wasn't going to throw the rock. So she looked at me, and she picked up the rock, and she asked in the most innocent tone, "Do you think I should start a rock collection?" So that really just took me off guard, and I was just like, "Yeah, you should totally start a rock collection." So once we were close enough to the Hopkins Center, she had all these rocks in her hand, and she asked me if she was a good girl today. So at first, since I was conversing with her so much, I just brushed it off as a joke, and I was like, "Nah, you weren't." But then I saw her face kind of fall, and I immediately just felt, I felt regret, so I was like, "I'm just playing, you were really, really good today." I really wanted to hit the point home after making that joke, so I said, "I want to hear you say that you were a good girl today," and she cracked a huge, huge smile, and she repeated right after me. So I know we keep on saying this, but I'm going to repeat this for emphasis. The mission trip was not easy at all. It was exhausting in so many ways, physically, socially, and spiritually. Every day was a different kind of struggle, whether it was disciplining the kids, not being able to communicate well with the other staff, homesickness, or just good old physical exhaustion. There was almost always something that acted as an obstacle to being a good servant there. Our team regrouped every night, sharing burdens and just praying like crazy. We intimately confided in each other our fears, our hopes, and our stories. Romans 12:12 states, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." And that's pretty much what we did together as a group. As our team struggled and stretched on, way past our comfort zones, every day slowly became just slightly more bearable and possible and more hopeful than the next. At times when I felt that my presence at the camp was unnecessary and cumbersome to the organization, Jeff or Nathan would just encourage me with smiles on their faces. I remember Nathan telling me that this kind of ministry is really tough because it's a long-term effect, so that makes the fruits of your labor hard to see, especially in the beginning. It didn't matter how discouraged I was or how useless I felt at times, because that didn't really change the fact that I was still planting the seeds inside these kids about how there is an almighty God and powerful creator who deeply loves each and every one of them, no matter how dark or how evil the circumstances are around them. So overall, I would say that serving at Little Lights was a beautiful and enlightening challenge for me, and I'm both blessed and honored to have been able to speak God's truth and love through being with the kids. Thank you very much.
So as you heard just there, that this is a long-term ministry, and Steve and Mary Park and Little Lights began in 1995. So they've been there 1 year shy of 20 years. And up to this point, to just share with you the effect that their presence has had in this, the Potomac Gardens community, as well as now the Hopkins community, and they're actually just one block away from each other. This is low-income housing in the midst of an area that used to be a mess, but now over the 20 years has grown up to be more to upper middle class area. So it's they were telling us the one town home, two bedroom, would go for anywhere from $800,000 to $900,000 in this area. So you can imagine these families that are living in this these housing communities. First, the government only allows them to make no more than $9,000 a year to be qualified to live in these communities, in these housing communities. And if they're only able to earn that kind of income and live in that kind of poverty, they have no chance to even rent anything outside of that community. There's no way they can do it. So there's that limitation. So that in their minds, in the minds of these kids, they're already, there's no hope, in the sense of ever getting out of where they are at. And so that it just permeates these communities because of they don't have the resources to move to a different part of the country that's less expensive. They can't even move out of the block or their community where they're at. So and there's the crime level and drugs. That's their main income in all both of these communities is drug dealing. And so Littleites, having been there for so long, has earned the trust and the relationship with D.C. Housing Authority, where in each of these communities, they have asked Littleites to lease actual one or two apartments in each of these communities. And the lease is no cost. They let them lease it for free, and because they know it's good for these communities. And so Littleites started at Potomac Gardens. They now have a second another area in Potomac Gardens as well that was given to them. And actually, our previous team went down there in, 2009, I think it was, or 10. And they actually were the first group in to help clean out and prepare that apartment building. And so that's the family center. That's geared toward adults, helping them find jobs, learn how to do their resumes, and prepare them for the job search. Then there's the 1212 Potomac, which Deborah and I worked at. Then there's another area that's the largest area that was given. It used to be a Boy and Girls Scouts or Boy and Girls Club of America that went defunct, and then it sat vacant for years, and then the housing authority asked Littleites if they'd be interested in using that, and that was just a year ago that they got that up and running. So that's as well a $0 lease that the housing authority is giving. This is government asking a faith-based Christian organization to do this. And then there's the Hope Center, which is outside. So it's all within walking distance of 5 to 10 minutes. So we did a lot of walking. We drove the van down there. We didn't use the van the whole week. We just walked everywhere, except to go to Littleites and stuff. They bused us to that. So that gives you kind of a little bit idea there. A story for me, Kalante is a boy that I got to know throughout the week. He actually was new to Littleites. It's a six-week summer lights program, which is 6 hours a day that the kids are with the Littleites in an active, structured activity. And so he had only been 2 weeks before we showed up, and so he was fairly new. So he wasn't quite, he didn't quite know, well, he knew the rules, but he didn't quite follow the rules as well as some of the other kids. He'd still mouth off and say things that they would clamp down on. Half the time, I didn't understand what they were saying because of their accents, and then they would use these slang words that I have no idea what they mean. So they'd be like talking smack to each other, and I'm just walking alongside, and then one of the other staff people would come over and say, "Hey, you shouldn't talk like that to each other." I'm like, "Oh, they were saying something bad. I don't know what they were saying, you know." Oops. So it was a learning process. But Kalante and I went to the gym every morning. This is where the kids would go to Atlas Gym, and they would actually do this for free for these organizations that were trying to help the urban children. And so we get to know each other, and that really touched me one time where he asked me 2 days out of the 5 days a week to play Monopoly with him. Now, for these kids to play a board game is completely different than anything they've ever tried, but he liked Monopoly, and he wanted me to play, so I did. And the one time we played with two other kids, Tanis and Dylan, and myself and Kalante. And it was an amazing experience for me because we sat down. First, we had to figure out how to set it all up. And in the process of playing the game, we talked about math because they had to buy properties and then they had all this money they had to exchange in. And some of them were having a hard time counting you know, subtracting, trying to figure that out. So it was a good time to go through that again with them. Then we talked about, like, following the rules, because some of them wanted to cheat, you know, to go again or do whatever. And so we talked about that. And it just showed me that just being with the kids and even, quote, playing games with the kids, there's just that life rubbing against each other where you're constantly teachable moments with these children. And that's Little Light's philosophy. They have a 4-to-1 ratio between adults and kids that they keep at. When summer volunteers or volunteer groups like ourselves come in, they say it gets down to a 3-to-1 ratio. And so when we're there, we may be overwhelmed with the kids when we're traveling here to there, but when we're actually with the kids doing our roles, responsibilities, we only have like 2, 3, 4 kids with us. So it's different. It's still overwhelming for us suburban, you know, people coming into that culture, but it's a lot of opportunity to have that kind of life-on-life situations. What did I learn? I was surprised that to learn that D.C. area has the highest child poverty rate in the whole country, more so than any other state. Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. And these children have a graduation rate from high school of 36%. Only about 1 out of every 3 children graduate high school in Washington, D.C. It's horrendous. And think about now the part of the culture there of these young people who don't graduate high school even. What are they going to do with their lives? They don't even have a high school degree. Of course, they'll get involved in crime, ways to make money that don't require an education. And it's like their only option. So it just generates on itself. It just keeps this cycle going. And so when Steve Park saw this, he said, we got to do something as a Christian. And what I learned is that even though, and rightly so, we want to move our resources to the unreached groups around the world. That's what God has called us to do, is go and make disciples. But what it revealed to me here even more so is that we have unreached groups in our country, not only those who are from other countries that have moved here, but we have people in the urban communities that really are unreached with the gospel, even though they've heard the words of the gospel many times maybe, but they've never experienced the whole gospel with people and followers of Christ living with them, rubbing life with them, and sharing the whole gospel with them by loving our neighbor as ourselves. It's one thing to tell somebody the gospel. It's another thing to live beside them and let them experience the gospel with you as a follower of Christ. And with the urban poor, not many Christians are willing to live with them and share the gospel with them. And that's what Steve and Mary Park do, and all the volunteers that are involved, that are staff, volunteers who do come in and work with them. The scripture passage that Steve mentioned in the original, the opening video, and the one that we had read earlier is Matthew 22:37-40. The two greatest commandments: love the Lord your God, Jesus said, with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. That is what God calls us to do, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And these two are so entwined together, and I saw that in Little Lights, that these people were loving their neighbor because they love their God. And the two have to go together. If you and I are loving God per se, but we do not love our neighbor, I mean, it could apply to our actual neighbor too, but love those who are downtrodden and hurting and oppressed in some ways, then it really calls into question our real understanding of the God that we say we love. And that was a challenge to me, where I am at in my life right now. We would like to end our presentation today with a slideshow of random pictures. But before we do that, let me pray for the people that we came to know, these children that you will see some pictures of in a minute. Lord God, we thank you for your grace in our lives. We thank you for the opportunity to serve along with brothers and sisters in Southeast D.C. And we pray, Lord, for the children that we came to know and to love. We just pray for their protection. We pray, Lord, for their maturity to grow in you and their faith to generate and to find foundation in Christ and the hope that you give, not only for the life now, but for the life to come, the eternal life we look forward to. We pray, Lord, that they would grow and mature in you and then realize and have a love for their neighbors and their own community. And that more and more of your followers would reach out to their neighbors around the world where they're at. And may that also apply to us here in Somerset. So move our hearts, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.